The massive pile of black refinery waste that sat alongside the banks of the Detroit River is now gone. The pet coke, as it's called, is the waste that's left after heavy tar sands oil is refined. It is not considered a hazardous substance, but does violate portions of the Clean Air Act when it becomes airborne. And in Detroit, there is video evidence that the pet coke did become airborne. Its residue could be found in neighborhoods throughout Detroit and in Windsor. The potential health and environmental effects of exposure and contamination are not fully understood. As of yet, there is little regulation to protect health and environment. Pet coke. That's the subject of today's edition of WEMU's First Friday Focus of the Environment. This is a monthly feature heard on the first Friday of each month, and my co-host for this segment is Lisa Wozniak. Lisa is the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. Good morning and welcome back.
Thank you, David. Good morning.
And our guest today.
This morning I have the distinct honor of welcoming to the show Congressman Gary Peters, Michigan's congressman from the 14th District. A Detroit area native, Congressman Peters began his political career in the early 90s and has held many other public service positions in the state. In 2009, he became the representative to the Greater Detroit area. A longtime supporter of Michigan's natural resources, Congressman Peters' leadership has been invaluable on many critical challenges facing our state's air, land, and water. These include, but are definitely not limited to, reducing our nation's carbon footprint via investment in clean energy technologies and protecting our majestic Great Lakes. Welcome to the show, Congressman.
It's great to be with you, Lisa. Thank you.
As David described so well in his introduction, Congressman, petroleum coke piles showed up on the banks of the Detroit River in your district, unannounced, and all of a sudden pet coke became a term on the pages of the New York Times and in Michigan dailies. This definition of pet coke is not clear to everyone. Yes, waste from the refinement of heavy tar sands oil, but what does that really mean and what are the health implications?
Well, you're right, Lisa, and David mentioned in his opening, we're not entirely clear as to what the implications are as it sits as pet coke. Certainly, once it gets burned and put into the air, we know that it is considered the dirtiest of the dirtiest fuels, very high in carbon, but also as a material, also has heavy metals and other sorts of substances in the pet coke. It results from the heavy tar sands oil that comes from Canada. And as was mentioned in the opening, we had piles of this stuff along the Detroit River. It was piles of probably over a block long, three or four stories high. There was incidents of this material blowing into the air. In fact, a video that was taken by someone on the Canadian side of the border shows this incredible black cloud rising from the petcoke. You can see the Ambassador Bridge in the background, and the cloud basically obscures the bridge as this cloud blows across the river into Windsor. And it certainly confirmed what we had heard from residents in the neighborhoods that were seeing this material. Despite the DEQ that said that there was fugitive dust procedures in place to control the dust, when you saw this incredible dust cloud, it was quite clear that their definition of dust control, I think, was very different than anybody else in the world to see that stuff blowing. Also, concerns about rainwater and that material getting into the Great Lakes. When I first got involved in the issue and asked the DEQ about what sort of dust control issues were involved, as well as how they were making sure that material stayed out of the lakes, they came back with a letter and said there was a catch basin around the petcoke, but there was a drain, and unbelievably in the letter they said, there is a drain, but we do not know where the drain goes. Well,
now we know.
Now we know that exactly. That drain actually went right into the Great Lakes. Material was going into the Great Lakes, and that's why I've introduced legislation to make sure we understand what are the best practices in dealing with this material and what are the potential health risks.
Well, the petroleum coke is from the Marathon Refinery along the Detroit River and has been there since 1930. It was Detroit Bulk Storage, the company that was storing the pet coke. I'm still unclear as to why the company decided open air storage would be acceptable at any point or if that manner of storage is even necessary. Do you have any answers as of yet?
Well, we know that a lot of it depends on the regulations within the state. The state of Michigan really does not have any particular regulations regarding the storage of petcoke. Unlike other states that deal with petcoke, Delaware, for example, requires that petcoke is covered, and covered not only in the storage but also as it's loaded onto ships. So that's when you particularly get dust as it moves up the conveyor belts and loaded onto a ship for transit. Other states do require coverage. That's part of a request that we have for the GAO to do a study of how other states handle petcoke and try to adopt, hopefully, best standards in the state of Michigan by our state legislators in regards to what other states are doing. And this is an important issue, not just for the city of Detroit and Michigan. If the Canadian tar sands oil comes in through the Keystone Pipeline, if that pipeline is built, you are going to see petcoke not just in Detroit, but in cities all across America. This is an issue that we need to understand better, and we want to make sure that we are protecting citizens as well as the environment.
You're listening to 89.1 WEMU, and this is our First Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm David Fair. My co-host is Lisa Wozniak, the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. And today we're talking with 14th District Congressman Gary Peters. The Oakland County Democrat represents portions of Oakland and Wayne counties, and today we're discussing the issue of petcoke. Now, Congressman Peters, when you said the GAO, you're talking about the Government Accountability Office, and you've asked them to identify best practices for storing and handling petcoke. What process does that request have to go through, and at what point might there be a practical response?
Well, we've made the request. They're going to take it up. We're hoping to get a report soon. So that is in process. We're going to get a better sense of what other states are doing, and we're looking forward to having that report that we can then take a look at, examine, and hopefully get the Michigan State Legislature involved in formulating regulations for the state of Michigan and putting forward a plan for the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality.
Well, that brings up a question. I mean, you've spoken about the potential federal action here and the importance of state activity, but this is an issue that's on the shores of an international waterway. So, and it also has been an issue, obviously, that the city of Detroit has been concerned about, and the mayor there has been very active in ensuring this is elevated and taken care of. Where are the best ways? At what levels of government do we actually need to work? All levels? Is it the state issue, a federal issue, or an international issue?
Well, I think you raised a very important point, Lisa. This is not confined to the state of Michigan, particularly when you are along the Great Lakes Basin. Right now, as was mentioned at the top of the interview, the petcoke is not in Detroit. It's being moved to a different location. In fact, right now it's being moved to Toledo, so it'll be in Ohio. And obviously,
will it be stored open air as it was here?
Yeah, that is not clear. We're going to try to find out exactly what is happening down there. It's not clear how it will be handled there and with the Ohio regulations. But certainly, if it's held in the open air and if it's a potential risk to the Great Lakes as well, it doesn't matter the individual state because we are all part of the Great Lakes Basin. So there you would need to have some sort of rules in place to make sure that we're protecting a body of water like the Great Lakes, which impacts not just our region, but I think we would all argue is an important resource for the entire country and the world.
As I understand it, petcoke right now is about a $6 billion a year industry, and it is growing. The U.S. is responsible for production of as much as 45 million metric tons of petcoke, Canada somewhere between 5 and 10 million tons, and many of the Canadian companies' refineries are right here in the U.S. Are the U.S. and Canadian officials working together on this issue? Is the International Joint Commission offering the political bodies potential solutions?
They are not at this point. That's why we're trying to elevate this, because, as you mentioned, it's a large amount of material now. But if the Keystone Pipeline is built, that material will go up exponentially. You'll see more and more petcoke. It's important to realize on the Canadian tar sands oil that material is not drilled like you think of oil. It's actually mined for. So it's very heavy in material. In fact, it's estimated that depending on what they're dealing with, but up to 30% of every barrel of oil coming from Canadian tar sands is petcoke. 30% is petcoke. So this is a large amount of material. So it's often, and it's not burnt in the United States because of the environmental implications when we burn it, which is very clear, particularly with the CO2 loadings. So oftentimes it's loaded on ships and sent to China. They burn it in China. It goes up into the air. But of course, we know when it goes into the air in China, it doesn't stay in China. It travels around the world into the United States and Canada both.
Congressman, while most of the attention nationally has been on the Keystone Pipeline, we in Michigan who have been paying attention and have seen some of the pictures in the Detroit Free Press and other locations understand that there is literally a spider web of pipelines that crisscross this beautiful state of ours. And the implications, I imagine, are enormous as we look at tar sands shipments and oil refinery just simply here in Michigan, the heart, literally the heart of the Great Lakes. Is that not true?
Yes, no question. Certainly we know the impacts of that very clearly. In Michigan, we know what happened with the Enbridge oil spill in Kalamazoo that happened in the summer of, I believe that was 2010. We had over 1 million gallons of oil spilled, heavy tar sands oil spilled into the environment. They're still cleaning that up. It still has going to have an impact on the environment. So that's the thing about a pipeline, no matter where it's built, it is not guaranteed that it will all stay in the pipe. And we've seen pipeline accidents, not just in Michigan, but other states around the country. And it's inevitable that sooner or later things happen and you're going to have this material dumped into the environment. And to think otherwise is just simply not backed by the facts.
So the petcoke on the banks of the Detroit River certainly received national press, the New York Times and other places. Given that this happened in a city with a legacy of pollution and with a huge amount of challenge ongoing right now, economic, political, and otherwise, what are the challenges you have as a Michigan congressman in bringing this environmental health issue in downtown Detroit to the halls of Congress?
Well, it is important. I think you raised a very important issue too. On top of the impact that it had to the broader environment in the Great Lakes, is that this material was in Southwest Detroit. It's an area that has consistently seen materials and pollution. It's one of the more heavily polluted areas in the country. There are people who live there. To me, this was an environmental justice issue where you had folks and small businesses that were starting up around this area suddenly finding petcoke and material blowing into their businesses. In fact, this petcoke was put on the site without getting any kind of permits. There wasn't any permit either from the city of Detroit and or the state of Michigan or any federal permits. And eventually Mayor Bing ordered it off the property because there weren't any permits at all. But that's oftentimes what happens. This stuff ends up in neighborhoods of folks who continually get dumped on. To me, it's a very broad issue of environmental justice as well as Great Lakes protection and human health issues. So it is incredibly important that the country focuses on this issue, and particularly given the fact that this material may increase dramatically if we see a Keystone pipeline built.
Once again, you are listening to 89.1 WEMU and our First Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm David Fair, sitting alongside my co-host Lisa Wozniak, and we're talking with 14th District Congressman Gary Peters about the issue of petcoke. Now, when we talk about the political situation in Detroit, Mayor Dave Bing did take a strong stand against this issue. Now the petcoke is gone, and with all the other challenges, as Lisa pointed out, is there the danger that Kevin Orr, the appointed emergency manager, might just think this issue is dead for Detroit right now instead of dealing with it head on and creating future protections?
Well, yeah, certainly there are many, many issues that we're dealing with in the city of Detroit and getting city back on its feet and moving forward. But that doesn't mean that we should not be vigilant about this material coming back. In fact, with Marathon Petroleum there continuing to refine tar sands, we know that petcoke is being created every day. So it is important that we make sure that we are finding out the information we need, which is why I've introduced legislation to get a better sense on not only best handling, but what are the potential health impacts of petcoke. There has been companion legislation also introduced in the Senate by Carl Levin and Debbie Stabenow, as well as Sherrod Brown and Mr. Senator Durbin and others. So there is action now in Congress, both in the House with my bill and legislation, with my co-sponsors, and now in the Senate. So we are certainly going to stay on this issue, focused on this issue, because this is, folks have to realize this is not just a Detroit issue. This is a much larger issue. Certainly now it's a Toledo, Ohio issue with the petcoke going down there, but it's going to be happening in other cities around the country. That's why we've got to keep focused, and groups like the conservation voters and others are very rightly focusing on this issue among all the others that they're focusing on.
So pivoting slightly, Congressman, I mean, as we deal with this immediate issue, and I do thank you for your leadership on this and highlighting it broadly across not only the state, but frankly the country, the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative funding is in question. That's been an incredible source of financing to take care of a long legacy of pollution throughout the Great Lakes. Just in the Detroit area along the Detroit River, there's been close to $15 million spent in the last couple of years to clean up polluted sludge, more than close to 500,000 pounds of contaminants, PCBs, lead, mercury, zinc. I know that you've been very vocal on this issue, and it's interesting that that funding is in peril as we look at increased challenges to the shores of our waterways. What have you been doing on this issue in particular, on the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative?
Well, you're absolutely right, Lisa. That money has been imperiled. It is critical money to make investments here. We are part of a very much broader debate here in Congress dealing with the federal deficit and how to reduce spending, and certainly we have to deal with that. And it's a significant intermediate and long-term problem that has to be dealt with. But, you know, in my mind, we can't just have across-the-board cuts like we saw with the sequestration that passed, which were just cuts to every program, regardless of how effective they were. And I certainly would argue, and I think most of the people in the state of Michigan certainly would argue, that Great Lakes restoration and making sure that we protect the quality of one of the largest bodies of fresh water in the world, there isn't a more important investment to make. But that needs to be a priority. And although, yes, we need to have cuts in federal spending, protecting the Great Lakes is a critical investment for us, not just now, but for future generations. We have contaminations that have been built up over the years that are seeping into the Great Lakes, slowly continuing to deteriorate them. And that's at a time when the world is growing thirstier and fresh water becomes more and more precious. We need to be in a situation where we're protecting our Great Lakes and protecting the quality and the integrity of that resource. So I've been fighting very aggressively to maintain that funding, which is not an easy battle given the mood of cuts here. But it's important for citizens across Michigan and folks really across the country to realize that this is an important investment for our future, for our children's future. And that's why I'm aggressively trying to protect those funds from cuts.
Well, Congressman Peters, our time together is winding down. But just one final question. If we set a date to talk again at this time next year, specifically on the issue of pet coke, what will have been accomplished?
Well, I think by this time next year, we'll have an understanding of what best practices are being used by states around the country. And we can be working on adopting some of those best practices, either at the national level or at specific states that are dealing with pet coke. And then hopefully we'll have passed legislation to study this and make sure that we have a better understanding of what this material constitutes in terms of potential for health risk. But certainly we'll have the best practices in mind and can start making some very positive moves forward.
Congressman Peters, thank you so much for your time this morning. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
That is 14th District Democratic Congressman Gary Peters from Oakland County. I would also like to take time to thank Lisa Wozniak, the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, and my co-host for WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. Lisa, we'll see you on October 4th.
I look forward to it. Thank you, and thank you, Congressman Peters.
I'm David Fair, and this is Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from American Express, from the David Geffen Foundation, promoting the arts, culture, and